Turn again tonight to the third chapter of Mark's Gospel. I'm going to read verses 22 through 30. The scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, and by the rule of the demons he cast out demons." And he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Assuredly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation, because they said he has an unclean spirit." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In a day long ago, ministers preached sermons which came to be known as fire and brimstone sermons. Jonathan Edwards, perhaps, was the greatest of these. And his best known sermon was Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And he pictured hell as being so alive and vivid and hot that you could smell the fire and smoke, and people passed out at his preaching. But that day's long past, and we know now that God loves us all, and he won't cause any of us any pain, any hurt, any harm. No matter what, as one church has it in Huntsville, no matter what, God's not angry with you. But then we look in the Bible and we find a lot of the anger of God. And we find Jesus becoming so angry at the religious folk that he formed a whip of cords and drove the money changers out of the temple and the animals out of the temple, and turned over their tables and scattered their coins. We hear Jesus saying, "Broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. But narrow is the way and straight is the gate that leads into life, and few there are that find it." And then we come to a passage like this tonight, where he says there is a sin for which there is no forgiveness. And back in the day again, when people took the word of God seriously, many were troubled by this passage of Scripture, troubled by the thought that they might have committed that sin for which there was no forgiveness, came to be known as unpardonable sin. William Barclay, in his commentary, said, "If we are to understand what this terrible saying means, we must first understand the circumstances in which it is said. It was said by Jesus when the scribes and Pharisees had declared that the cures he wrought were wrought not by the power of God, but by the power of the devil. These men had been able to look at the incarnate love of God and to think the incarnate power of Satan." In Jewish thought, the Holy Spirit had two great functions. First, the Spirit revealed God's truth to people. And second, he enabled men to recognize that truth when they saw it and heard it. He revealed the truth. He enabled people to recognize it when they saw it and heard it. The Holy Spirit enabled people to recognize God's truth when it entered their lives. Now we know that if we have any ability, whatever it might be, and refuse to use it, we will soon lose it. It doesn't matter what it is. Back days so long ago I can barely remember, I was in engineering school studying civil engineering, and I had to take all the calculus courses that they offered. I did fairly well after I got sort of started on it. But a number of years ago, when we were getting ready to move, I went through some junk and decided what to throw away after carrying it around for years. And I came across my old calculus notebook. And I opened it up and looked at it. And the only thing recognizable to me was my handwriting. Everything else looked like hen scratching. I had not used it. I had totally lost it. Kim was fantasizing just a little bit before the service tonight. She said we were going to be able to say we knew Vicki Nguyen. Now, when she becomes famous, when she's this great concert pianist, we can say, I knew her when she played her first Sunday night in church. Well, I stand amazed at the progress the young lady's made in the last year, and her abilities and her gifts. And I pray that she will develop that gift to the uttermost for God's glory. But if she goes home tonight and never touches a piano again for the next 10 years, she won't be able to play like she played tonight. If you don't use it, you lose it. That's true in life. And if we refuse the guidance of God's Spirit often enough, we become in the end incapable of recognizing the truth when we see it. If we refuse to recognize and follow the guidance of God's Spirit often enough, we'll be incapable of recognizing that truth when we see it. Evil to a person who refuses to recognize God's Spirit can become good, and good can become evil. A person can look at the goodness of God, as these men did, and call it the evil of Satan. Now, this is a sin against the Holy Spirit. To so often and so consistently refuse God's guidance and will, that in the end, it cannot be recognized when it comes even full display. These people had refused God's guidance and His will so often and so consistently that when God came incarnate in Christ, they couldn't recognize, not even fully display. But you say, why should this be this sin be unforgivable? Well, again, Barclay says the answer is simple. Says when a man reaches that state, repentance is impossible. And if a man cannot recognize the good when he sees it, he cannot desire the good. If a man does not recognize the evil as being evil, he cannot be sorry for it and hate it and wish to depart from it. And if he cannot, in spite of failures, love the good and hate the evil, then he cannot repent. And if he cannot repent, he cannot be forgiven. For repentance is the only condition of forgiveness. It would save much heartbreak if people would realize that the only man who cannot have committed the sin against the Holy Spirit is the man who he fears he has. For the sin against the Holy Spirit can be truly described as a loss of all sense of sin. To lose all sense of sin is unpardonable sin. And the scribes and Pharisees had come to that point. They had no sense of sin. They thought themselves perfect. You remember the story Jesus told of the Pharisee that went up in the temple to pray? And he prayed with himself. He didn't pray to God, Really? He didn't pray with the congregation. He prayed with himself. And he said, I thank God that I'm not like other people are. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not even like that old publican standing over there with his head bowed. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. God, look how good I am. He lost all sense of sin. When you lost all sense of sin in their lives, as these men had, they could not recognize God when they were confronted with Him. After years of resistance to God, they were no longer able to hear and had thus shut themselves out from the presence of God. God had not shut them out. They had shut themselves out from the presence of God. It's recorded that one rabbi said, if there are only two righteous men in the world, I and my son are these two. If, he says, there's only one righteous man in the world, I am he. No sense of sin. Closing God out entirely. There is a serious warning, dreadful warning here for us. We must ever listen to God and so heed Him all our days that our sensitivity is never blunted, that our awareness is never dimmed, and that our spiritual hearing never becomes spiritual deafness. God forbid that we ever be guilty of grieving the Spirit, of resisting the Spirit, of quenching the Spirit. Against all of these were specifically warned in the Scriptures. And yet it's still a law of life that we hear what we've trained ourselves to hear. We hear what we've trained ourselves to hear. Some of you trained musicians might have heard Vicki make a mistake tonight if she made one. I didn't hear it. If she'd made it, I still wouldn't know. I'm not trained to hear that. Gwen was talking about somebody this morning saying somebody else is in the key of G, and that means much to me. It says in the key of F. You know, means nothing at all. Not trained there. We hear what we're trained to hear, what we train ourselves to hear, what we become sensitive to. Stories are told of an old country boy that made his first time into the big city. And he's walking down the street in the evening in the spring of the year, and the traffic was on every side, and the horns blaring, and all the noise that goes on in the big city. And he stopped and he said to the person with him, did you hear that? He said, what? What are you talking about? Did you hear that? What? Did you hear that cricket chirping? He'd been used to hearing that, and he heard something familiar. We are responsible for our own sensitivity, by and large. It doesn't entirely fit, but I think it fits well enough. One of the things that I wondered about for a long time about my dad, finally found out what had happened. Dad was a sound sleeper. You could come around after he'd gone to bed at night and make all kind of noise, and you couldn't wake him up. When my older sister got married and came home unexpectedly with her new husband, it was after 10 o'clock at night, and they liked to have never gotten anybody in the house awake to let them in. Dad slept soundly. But if you knew the secret, there was no problem with that. His name, same as mine. And if you walked around and whispered quietly, Jeff, his feet would come out of the bed and his feet would hit the floor and he'd be sitting up ready to go. Just mention his name. He revealed to me the secret of this. When he was growing up on a farm out in southern Mississippi, He and his older brother took weeks' turn getting up every morning, building fire and putting on the coffin and going to the barn to feed the mules. Granddaddy would call whichever one of them's turn it was, and they'd get up and build the fire and put the coffee on and go feed the mules. And for some reason, Dad got the wise idea one week that he wouldn't answer when Granddaddy first called him. He would wait until he called him five times before he answered. Monday morning, he waited. Granddaddy called him the fifth time. He answered, got up, went and did his chores. Tuesday morning, same thing. Wednesday morning, the same thing. Granddaddy and I knew he's calling him five times every morning. Thursday morning, the same thing. Friday morning, he called him the fifth time. And by then, Daddy was almost like he'd hit the snooze button on the alarm clock. He went back to sleep. He didn't get up. He answered Granddaddy, but he didn't get up. And Granddad got up and built the fire and put on the coffee and went to the barn and fed the mules. And on the way back to the house, he passed a peach tree and he cut off a long branch off of the peach tree. And the next thing Daddy knew, Granddaddy was in the bed with him. And from that day until the day he died, you didn't have any trouble waking him up. You just called his name. I mean, he was up. He had become sensitive to his name. And we can sensitize ourselves to the voice of God. If we wait before him in prayer and listen. If we spend time in his word and let it speak to us and pray that the written word would come alive and speak to our needs. If we'll seek him in worship. If we will, in those difficult times, say, what would the Lord have me to do now? And listen. We can make ourselves sensitive. The voice of God. Day by day, let us listen, that his voice may become not fainter and fainter, but until we can hear it all day, clearer and clearer, until it becomes the one sound which our ears are tuned more clearly than any other sound. And when God speaks, let us eagerly obey. Lord Jesus, we know that we're unworthy of the least of your blessings. But you do have mercy. And we long, Lord, to wait before you, to listen, to find your direction for all of life, and to be faithful servants. Speak, Lord. Speak even in the hymn that we sing tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name.